Okay, so the shiur that I'm going to give is it's a combination of a few shiurim from the yeshiva. This year is learning Masechet Avodah Zarah. So this is really an overview of the nature of the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. So if you look at the sheet, obviously the Torah prohibits worshipping Avodah Zarah in many places. And it's one of those prohibitions which is common to Jews and non-Jews, right? As the Gemara outlines in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Vav, the seven Isurim that are common to non-Jews are Eiver Menachai, Birkat Hashem, Gzela Dinim, right, Hereg, Avodah Zarah, Znut. And one of them, obviously, is Avodah Zarah. The goal, though, really, is to figure out the following, is to figure out why, if the Isra of Avodah Zarah applies for Jews and non-Jews, why that Isra is not uniform for Jews and non-Jews, but rather has a different nature for the two of them. Now, this is true both at the level of the Gemara, where we'll see the Gemara already raises the possibility that there's a difference between Avodah Zarah for Jews and non-Jews. But as we'll see, there are even more significant halach l'maaseh consequences once we get to the poskim, especially the Rama, where the Rama raises the possibility, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah for Jews, but not for non-Jews, and the Ran. And the Ritva and the Radbaz, as we'll see, raise the same possibility for Islam. And what I wanted to try to do is understand what the nature of Avodah Zarah is, such that it can lend itself to different definitions for Jews and non-Jews. What that would even mean. Before we look at the sources, what do you think? Right, I can't see you, but anyone who wants to offer a possibility, right? Why might there be a difference between Avodah Zarah for Jews and non-Jews, right? Meaning, at the end of the day, if Avodah Zarah means that you worship an idol, so you worship an idol, right? Who cares? You're Jewish, not Jewish. It's foreign worship. What's the difference? So, what do you think?
I mean, one thing, you have Jewish mitzvah.
We have.
Haphazardly say that, you can't do certain things. Yeah, I don't know other religions maybe need to do as well.
I mean, they have, what did you say, a mitzvah? I mean, they also have a mitzvah, right? It's one of the Shiva mitzvah, Noach.
Jewish mitzvah.
Shura's mitzvah, meaning what?
Meaning there's some circumstances which wouldn't be certain times of the week, sometimes of the year.
Okay, right, so it could just be that this is part of a... So if I get what you're saying, I mean, it could just be that this is part of a more general phenomenon, right? That we have, mitzvot, which Jews and non-Jews are both obligated in, but they manifest themselves differently, right? This is, where you have that, let's say, by murder, right? I mean, both Jews and non-Jews can't murder, but you have it, l'kula, that Jews, according to most poskim anyways, or at least many Rishonim, abortion is not murder for Jews. It's usur, potentially, under certain circumstances, but not murder. But the Gemara says explicitly for non-Jews it would be, Elu Yishvichas Damim, in the opposite direction, right, embarrassing people, according to Tosfos, is murder level of Yeharik Val Yavor, or at least Rabbi Yonah, really, is murder level Yeharik Val Yavor. For non-Jews that might not be the case. Right, so it could just be part of a general phenomenon. What else? Right, why else might it be true? Are people still there?
In one way,
yeah.
At least for Jews, it's both on the level of taking part in the system of mitzvot, and also understanding the nature of Avodah Zarah being incorrect versus non-Jews. They're not doing it on two levels. It's just the thing is incorrect, but not like they're part of the entire system.
Good, right? So another possible... Right, good. Good. So, right, another possibility is not just, more general, but say maybe there's two aspects to Avodah Zarah itself, that Jews violate both and non-Jews violate another one. So that's really the direction that it's going to take. But before we see what those might be, so it's helpful to look at the two psukim the Gemara derives. There are more than two, but the two that we'll focus on in the Gemara. So if you look at number one here, the Gemara says, "Lo tishtachave lohem lo savdim, ki anochi Adonai Elokecha, el kana, bokein avon avod al banim, al shilashim v'al ribeim." Right, so the Torah here warns us not to worship Avodah Zarah, right? This is Aseret HaDibrot. And what does the Gemara highlight? Why is it Aser? Right, if you had to summarize in a nutshell, why is Avodah Zarah Aser? What is Aser about Avodah Zarah? Just in the Pasuk, right? Don't get philosophical on me, just from the words. It's pretty straightforward. It's what?
Because Hashem is God, and...
So, Hashem is God, and therefore what shouldn't you do? Right, in one word, right? Lo Sovdeim. What does Sovdeim mean?
Worship.
Then worship them. Right, I mean, there's a problem in worshiping them. But there seems to be a different implication, number two. Right, because the Pasuk number two, just two parakim later in Shmo, says, Zoveach le'lohim yacharam, biltil Adonai levado. Right, you'll be, whatever Yacharam exactly means, if you bring a karban to other gods. Why? Bilti Lashem Levado. What does Bilti Lashem Levado mean? Right? Except for God. Right? Except for God. Now, according to this, what's the implication? Why is it a problem to worship Avodah Zarah? Right? According to the second pasuk, why is it a problem to worship Avodah Zarah?
It'll have a bad effect on you.
In what sense? Right? What does it mean? Right? Zoveach lelim yacharam because bilti lashem levado. Right? What is the implication?
One removes yourself from God.
Exactly, right? That you're not worshiping God. Right? That you're not worshiping God. Right? And this, I think, and this is what we're going to see. I think this is really the key. Right, is that when we talk about Avodah Zarah, there are really two aspects to Avodah Zarah. Right, one is that you are worshiping idols. The other is that you're reappropriating a relationship you're supposed to have with God. Right, you're not worshiping God, not like in the lacking sense, not in the passive sense. Right, and you're actively being mevatel worship of God. Now, this is really what the Gemara outlines in number three. Now, if I asked you, what do you think it means to worship Avodah Zarah, right? If I just ask you, what does it mean to worship an idol? What would you say? What is definitely worshiping an idol?
Bowing,
Okay, so don't cheat and look at the Mishnah. But summarize, right? What does it mean? Simplest level, to worship an idol. Right? So you're right. The Mishnah is going to say that Hamashtacha ve'amekater, right? But if I asked you, what is the paradigmatic instance of Avodah Zarah? I wouldn't have picked those. What would you have picked as the paradigm? Think very straightforwardly, very well about this.
Giving praise?
No, even more simple.
Giving praise or something else?
Even more simple. Don't be formal on me, right? What is the most basic... How about this, right? The most simple way of worshiping Avodah Zarah, I think, and this is what we'll see in the Mishnah, is however they are normally worshipped. Right, meaning whatever it is, right? If you have an Avodah Zarah and it has a mode of worship, you can't do that, right? That would be right in all possible worlds, right? That statement should be true in all possible worlds. If you can't worship idols, so in whatever way an idol is worshipped, you can't do that, right? That would be the classic. Now you're right that the so we look at the Mishnah though. The Mishnah says, "Ha'oved avod kochavim." Right? The Mishnah says there are five ways of worshiping an idol. Right? Four of them I understand. Right? Mizabech, Mekater, Menasech, Vechal Mishtachave. Right? I understand four of them, which is bringing a karban, bringing ketoret, bringing a libation, or bowing. But what's Oved? Right? Meaning, shouldn't it be like Oved colon, Mizabech, Mekater, Menasech, Mishtachave? Right, how is Oved distinct from those four avodot? So what does the Gemara say? If you skip down three lines, the Gemara says, "My echad Oved, Amr b'Yirmiya hachigamar, echad Oved kidarka, ve'echad mizbech, ve'echad makadim, ve'echad manasik, ve'echad mishtacha ve'apilu shelo kidarka." So the Gemara says exactly sort of what I said, right? In just a simple diuk, the Gemara says, "Look, there are classic Oved, stam Oved. The word Oved should mean kedarka, meaning the way that an Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped. If you worship an Avodah Zarah that way, that is worship and that is usur. The other four you violate, but what does the Gemara very conspicuously say about the Mishnah? They're not called, right? Stam avoda. They're considered avoda shelo kedarka, right? They're considered abnormal forms of worship, right? So the Gemara already highlights that there's two ways of worshiping avodah zarah. One is what it calls kedarka, which is the normal way of worshiping an idol, and then there's four other ways, which are shelo kedarka. They're not the normal way of worshiping an idol. And then the Gemara gets into a little bit of a question. Okay, how do you know not other things? So the Gemara says, what about sprinkling blood? So maybe that's the same as giving a libation. So the Gemara says, how do I know that both of these are true? That you can violate avodah zarah, both kedarka and shelo kedarka. So the Gemara says, the Tana Rabbanan, if it only said Zovech Yocharam, so then I might have said it's not avodah zarah, it's sacrificing a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why would you compare avodah zarah to sacrificing outside the Beis HaMikdash? Why would that be true? In what sense are they? Could they be derived from the same pasuk? Right. What's wrong about bringing carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash?
Because bringing korbanos is just worship practice.
Yeah, but you're not bringing to an idol, but, right? So why would it be asur, let's say, not for an idol, to bring it outside to Hashem, outside the Beis HaMikdash?
Right. Well, it's not in the Makom of Hashem. But
yeah, exactly, right? Because it's supposed to be done in the Mikdash, right? So the Gemara says the pasuk of Zovech Yacharam could have meant not avodah zarah. It could have meant bringing shchutei chutz. Talmud Lomer, Lelohim. So the Gemara says, yeah, that would be if it just said Zoveach Yacharam, but it said Lelohim, specifically to a god, B'Zoveach, L'Avodah Zkachovim, Makosav Medaber, En Lela B'Zoveach, Mekata Menasech Minayin, so fine, I know that's not only specifically Korban, but it might be true of, well, how do I know it's the other Avodot as well? So the Gemara says, Bilti L'Hashem Levado, Rikin Avodot Kulon L'Hashem Am Yuchad, right, all these Avodot, they've been emptied out, they all have to be for God. Fine. So the Gemara tells you, right, that, what does the Gemara tell you? The Gemara tells you that the four avodos of Shelo Kedarka, why are they asur? So the Gemara tells you because of three words. Bilti Lashem Levado. Right? And it makes sense because it's compared to shkutei chutz, right? That why, right? What's the common denominator between the four avodos, between zoveach, hishtachavaya, menasech, mekater? What's the common denominator? Where are those avodos?
Beis HaMikdash.
Exactly. Now let's look at one more Gemara, right? If you look at number four, the Gemara says that. Just skip to the last three lines. The Gemara is talking about the chiyuv of avodah zarah for an akum, and the Gemara says the last line: Ilema kedarka bar katalahu elamuti shelo kedarka. If an idolater worships kedarka, right? He throws stones at Mercury, which is the way it was worshipped, or pile stones to Mercury, whatever. Then he is killed. But if he did shelo kedarka, he doesn't get killed. So let's take our two pieces of evidence. Right? One is that the Gemara calls. Only avodah kedarka oved. It calls only the normal way of worship of a given idol worship, and everything else is shelo kedarka. And the second piece of evidence is that only Jews are liable for shelo kedarka, and non-Jews are chayav for kedarka. Right? So how could you explain that? Now you could cheat and tell me, well, there's objective worship like the four avodot, and subjective worship, which is the local one. You know, and maybe only Jews partake of the four objective ones because they're chayev in the Beis HaMikdash, right? And since it's recognized for them, right? That would be one way. But focus on the psukim, right? Try to come up with lumdos that emerges straight from the psukim. I've sort of set it up for you. But, Trent, but what might emerge from the pasuk if you wanted to focus on the psukim? Right? And this is even clearer in the Rambam, right? If you look in four in the Rambam, you'll see that the Rambam totally separates these types of avodos into different halachos, but just logically, right? Why would you say this? Anybody.
It sounds like the Avodah Zarah of Jew involves both simply worshiping other gods according to their way and also perverting the worship of God.
Good.
Whereas,
right.
According to non-Jew, there's no pre-existing worship of God to pervert.
Good. Exactly. And Rav Lichtenstein put it a little bit sharper, and he said, why is it us to worship idols? For two reasons. One is because it's objectively bad to worship an idol. They're false, right? They're not God. So it's wrong. The second reason is wrong to worship an idol, because every time you worship an idol, you are being mevatel the possibility that you're worshiping God, right? You're misplacing your relationship. So Rav Lichtenstein said, you know what the difference is? And he said, it's meduik in the psukim, right? There's a problem of lo sa'avdeim, which the Gemara says is where you learn kiddarka from, right? Don't worship them. That means don't worship them the normal way. And then there's the problem of shalo kiddarka, which is bilti l'Hashem levado, things that you should be doing for God, you can only do for God. And Rav Lichtenstein said, well, you look through the Torah goes out of its way to explain to you what's going on, because the Torah describes the relationship between the Jews and God, right, with many mishalim, one of which is marriage, right? And how does the Torah, throughout the Torah, describe Avodah Zarah as what? As znut, right? Vizanu, acharei olam acherim, right? They committed znut, they committed adultery, so to speak. So Rav Lichtenstein said, what the Torah is telling you by framing the relationship of God and the Jews as one of marriage, and Avodah Zarah as nus, as adultery, is to tell you that for Jews, it's not just usher to worship idols because it's usher to worship idols. It's usher to worship idols because bilti l'Hashem levado, because you have a direct, unique relationship with God that by worshiping an idol, you're undermining. Right, and I gave you, if you skip for a moment to section 6 here, right, Roman numeral VI. If you skip to 12, maybe this is the best way. The Ramban notes that, I'll say it outside. The Ramban suggests, you know what? Let's read through it. The Ramban in 12, skip to 12 and we'll go back. He says, I'm the only God. I don't want anyone else with me. I'm a strong God. I have the power to punish someone who's going to serve someone else. He says, kin'ah. Now, what does kin'ah mean? What does kin'ah mean? Somebody.
Jealousy.
Usually in what context?
Like sota?
Oh, good. So hold that for a second. It's relationships, right? Sota is the classic case. And he says, the only time that you have kin'ah in the Torah, right, which is a problem for anthropopathism, right? You know the word anthropopathism? Anthropopathism is the same as anthropomorphism, but it's not human body, it's human emotion. I'm just giving you a share, Frank, but I'll catch you in a minute. Right? So he says, right, he then quotes the Mernavuchim, who tries to deal with the anthropopathic problem. But the Ramban notes just that the Torah in general only talks about kinah by Avodah Zarah. And then he adds, if you skip down to the three lines at the bottom, he says, "Lufi dati she has kir kinab avodah zarah bi Israel bilvad." And he said, it's not just that. Kin'ah is only used to describe avodah zarah and only for Jews. Why? Ki Israel skulat Hashem anichbar asher dilam lo kasher parashti l'malah, because they are God's chosen people. Vini em ha'am shelo mishartav ponim Elohim acherim mikanei bahem Hashem kasher ha'ish mikanei b'ishto b'lachta l'acherim. So if God's holy nation, special nation, worships idols, he'll be jealous, just like ha'ish mikanei b'ishto. Right? Someone said sota. Right? He says, God gets jealous of the Jewish people in the worship of the Tzar, the way a husband gets jealous of his wife, right? If she is a sota, if she sleeps around. And therefore, the Ramban is getting at this point exactly. He's saying that the way the Torah conceptualizes our relationship with God is as a relationship that can be violated. And therefore, it makes sense that we have more of an expansion of the definition of Avodah Zarah to include not just objective worship, but things that are a violation because it's a misappropriation of our relationship. Or Lidugma. Okay? To go to the Sota example, it's a good one, right? To go to, let's say, marriage. Adultery is, you know, adultery, right? It's objective, right? There's no two ways about it, right? That's like the gold standard, so to speak, of violating a relationship. But let's say somebody goes on a coffee date. Coffee date to discuss something with a woman. Is that adultery? Is that a violation of the relationship? Someone tell me no. I hope.
Depends on the relationship.
So, Stom, no. When could it be? So, let me give you an example. Let's say a couple every Wednesday night, they always go out for coffee, ritualized, 8 o'clock at night, always. Then one day the husband says, you know, I'm not feeling well. I want to just stay home. So, the wife says, fine. You know, I have to do shopping anyways. You know, we go out every week, it's fine. And then the husband sneaks out and he goes to his coffee with a different woman. And that's it. It limits it to coffee. Is that, I don't want to say adulterous, but is that a violation of the relationship?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because why? Because you're supposed to be doing it with your wife at that time, and you're not. You're doing it with somebody else. Right? It's not objective. It's contextual. Right? So Reuven Chaim said the same thing is true of Avodah Shelo Kedarka. Right? If you throw stones at Marcolis, so sure, that's Avodah Zarah. But if a non-Jew bows to an idol that isn't usually bowed to, so big deal. Right? That's like drinking coffee with someone where there's no background. But if the Jew does it, he should be drinking coffee with God, so to speak. Right? He should be bowing to God. He should be bringing a carbon to God. And if you don't, contextually, it's a violation of Avodah Zarah. Or to put it differently, right? Let's put a chakira in the words of Avodah Zarah. There's two ways of interpreting the words of Avodah Zarah. How do you interpret it? Translate the words. Just translate it for me.
Foreign worship
or worship of something that is foreign.
Worshipping foreigners.
Right. So to speak, for non-Jews, what's the iser? Only avodah to a zar. Right. Worshipping, objective worship to that which is not God. Right. To a zar, to an avodah zarah. But for Jews, in Avodah Zarah, a strange worship, right? Meaning even something which isn't worship in a sense, but it's strange, right? Meaning it should be appropriated one way, and you misappropriate it, you misdirect it, that's also Avodah Zarah. Right? So there's that Sveidim, even in the words of Avodah Zarah. And I won't read this for you, but what I gave you here in 9 is a famous Maharik about adultery. See how close that is. Okay, adultery. The Maharik was asked the following question. He says, what happens, right, normally in Kol HaTorah Kula, what happens if someone thinks that an Isser is Mutter? Right, what's his status? If he violates when he thinks it's Mutter, what's the status?
Shogeg.
So Maharik said, right, it's a Gemara in Shabbos Samaches, right? The exception is murder, where murder might be different. But okay, leave that alone for a moment. He says, what happens? A woman comes and she says it's Omeris Mutter. She thought it was Mutter to commit adultery. And this was a standard shaila after the Shabtai Tzvi disasters, right? Because there were all types of people, right? The theology of Shabtai Tzvi, and the Frankists especially, was Avera Lishma. So after Shabtai Tzvi, there were a lot of shailas of women who said that somebody came to me and he told me he was Eliyahu HaNavi, and he told me that if I committed adultery with him, I would conceive Mashiach. Right? There was all types of crazy shailas like this. So it actually happened, unfortunately, not so unoften. So the question was, is that woman now asur to her husband? Because normally, if someone commits adultery, they're asur to her husband. So he said, what if it's shogeg? So the Maharik says, it's asur. She's asur to her husband. Why? Because she says, the pasuk says, umola mal bi'isha. Adultery is wrong because she violated her husband. She trespassed against her husband. And he says, umola mal bi'ishaksiv. not against Hashem. He said, Omerit Mutter helps you against God, maybe. But if a woman commits adultery, she knows it's not her husband. It's a violation of the relationship. And therefore, she asks her husband, even if she doesn't know that it's wrong ritually, who cares? Right? Relationship-based Isurim are defined in the context of the relationship. She may not be put to death, right? Because it was Omeris Mutter, it's Shogig. But in terms of her relationship with her husband, it's been violated. And that you can't deny based on a technicality. And I gave you in 10 and 11, right? You see this, that the Torah defines Avodah Zarah in the same way. Vayim Alu, Be'elohei Avoseihem, right? They were Moel, which is, again, from Sota, with the God of their forefathers. Vayiznu, Acharei Elohei Amaretz, Asher Shmid Olim B'pneihem. And in Yeshayahu, Yeshayahu famously says that God tells the Jewish people, right, you don't have a right to stop keeping my Torah because you think we're married and I divorced you. I didn't, right? I separated from you. That was what Gullus was. It wasn't a divorce, right? But you have to contextualize it the way you would a marriage relationship. So Lamai Nafkamina, right? So this is the conceptual one. So we saw one Nafkamina. The classic Nafkamina is the one of the Gemara, is Kedarka Vishalo Kedarka. But like I said, right, I call the Shir, idolatrous monotheist, right? But I think there's two major nafkaminas which fit into this. One is the status of Islam, and the other is the status of Christianity. And really, there's a third, which I'll mention at the end. So if I asked you, is Islam Avodah Zarah? What would you say?
No.
No. Right? Who says that?
The Rambam
says it in many places. Rambam Machol says Surah Yud Aleph Halacha Zayin very strongly in his letter to Avadya Hager, which is what I gave you here in section 7. Right? He wrote to Avadya Hager. So basically what happened was Avadya Hager, he was a Muslim who converted to Judaism, and his Rebbe was very mean to him. Right? His Rebbe was very mean to him, and he said, you know, you used to be a pagan. And Avadya Hager was very insulted by it, because in his head, he used to be a Muslim, so he was a monotheist, and then he converted. But he never viewed himself as a pagan. So it was very hurtful for him to hear that he was a pagan. So he turns to the Rambam and he says, is this true? Did I used to be a pagan? And his proof, his Rebbe's proof, was that they have certain like rock-throwing ceremonies, which he thought was idolatrous. Okay, fine. So if you look at the answer, that's the background of the question. He says, Tshuva. They are not idolaters. Right? Idolatry has been cut out of their mouths. And he said, there is no, right, no dofi, right? There is no question, no doubt, no shemetz of Avodah Zarah. He said, look, I get it. They lie about us. Right? The Muslims in his time claimed that the Jews were pagans, that we believe that God had a son, right? Like the Christians do. He said, so just because they lie about us doesn't mean I get to lie about them. Now, I gave you in Tshuva Kuf Mem Tes, that doesn't mean he loves them, right? He says, in a certain sense, he likes Christians more, because he says, Christians, you can teach Tanakh to, because at least they don't distort Tanakh, they just add to it. They reinterpret it, but they accept Tanakh as canonical. Right, the Quran rewrites Tanakh, so he doesn't have rose-colored glasses. He knows exactly that they lie about us, that they have distorted the Torah. But the Rambam says, in no uncertain terms, that right. I mean, that's about as clear as you can get. He says, right, it's miyachdim la'el yitalei yichud kara o yichud shein bo dofi. Right, they talk about God as one in a way that ain bo dofi, or there's no shaila about it. No problem with it at all. And it's true, right? They're absolute monotheists. But now you tell me, is there a way conceptually of justifying that they are Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, there is.
Anybody?
I mean, what do they do? I don't know what they do.
Okay. So one possibility is, well, right, so the Ron, if you look down, the Ron says that they are Avodah Zarah. Okay? Look for a second. He says, the Ron, this is in 7:2. He says, right, he said, Okay, he's talking about Avodazaras, Yarek Val Yavor, and he says, V'lamani v'kancha kod shim shel kutim, v'magama mashuga shel Yishma'ilim. He said that is not politically correct way of calling Muhammad, right? The mashuga. Afal pi she'ein toan achreim la'sosun elohus. Even though they don't think he's a god, holu mishtachavim lifnei mishtachavoyish elohus, they bow to him, din avodas elilim yesh lehem, l'chol davar asr shel avodas elulim shelo behidur levad. He mishtachavim lifneim she'ein hidur lemesim elakinin avodas elohus hu avodasim. So Ron makes an important distinction. He says, there's two ways you can be avodavodazara. One is by believing in a pagan god, and the other is by believing in the right god, but bowing to an icon, right? Bowing to an idol, right? Even if you believe in God, right? That's what the Rambam writes, right? The Rambam writes the original of Avodah Zarah were people who were serving God, but through the sun, the moon, and the stars. So the Ran says the Muslims do that, right? They do that. Now, what's the problem? What's the problem with saying that? It's not right. Correct, they don't. That's the problem, right? They don't do that. They did at some point historically, right? Probably the early Muslims who were you know, just becoming Muslim from paganism. But factually, they don't do that. And Rav Ovadia Yosef therefore says the Ran is just wrong. He didn't get his mitzvahs right. And if he had known the mitzvahs like the Rambam did, because the Rambam lived in, right, Muslim Egypt, and the Ran lived in Christian Spain. So the Ran just didn't know the mitzvahs. But the Ritva, right, the Ritva tells you, and the Radbaz writes this at length, right? He says, no, I got a different way of taking this. And he says, look at the Ritva. He says, because of an ode, Zal, the Yodea, Sheamunas Ishmaelim, Afal Pi Shehim, this isn't Psachim, by the way, I didn't write that. Afal Pi Shehim Yachlam of Odezar Gemura, Hashiva, Lehorig Val Yishtamed. He said, look, even though they're Miyachadim, right, meaning they believe in one God. For us, at least, it's Avodah Zarah. And it's Yehareg Val Yavor. Why? Share Amode Be'unasam Kofir B'Torah's Moshe. She'ena Emes K'moshi Bi'adenu. Because it said it may not be idol worship, but what is it? It's Kofir B'Torah's Moshe. Right? It's Kfira. It's heresy. V'chol Chayotzeb Al-Zeh. V'chol Chayotzeb Avodah Zarah Hi. V'lo Omru B'Shar Mitzvah Yehareg Val Yavor Val Yehareg. V'miskavin La'avir Elok She'omrin Lo Chal Shabbos. V'mode She'en Toch Emes V'l'tziv HaKadosh Baruch Lishmor Zah Shabbos.
So Ritva tells you in two places, both in Psachim, but that's it's the clearest, so we'll just focus on that.
He says, maybe it's not Avodah Zarah for them, because they believe in one God and they worship one God. But for a Jew, it's Avodah Zarah and Yehareg Val Yavor, because it may not be Avodah Zarah in the classic sense, but it is Kfira. Right, it's giving up on Torah's Moshe. And the Radbaz, I gave it to you, you can read it yourself. The Radbaz goes on about this at length to prove the Ritva's point. Right, but what is he saying? Right, what's the Ritva saying? The Ritva's saying, look, it may be true that they don't worship idols. That, in Hanami, they don't worship idols. But you're going to tell me that a Jew who is Moda in Islam is not the equivalent of an Ovid of Avodah Zarah? He's Kofir B'Torah's Moshe. He's giving up the Torah. And what does he clearly think? Right, that maybe for non-Jews, as long as you believe in one God, right, it's not Avodah Zarah, because there's no Avodah of his, right, there's no Avodah Zarah, there's no idol worship, there's no paganism. But for a Jew to be moed in another religion, even if that religion is monotheist, would be the equivalent of being an idol worshiper. Because for a Jew, Avodah Zarah is as much about rebelling and giving up on the relationship you have with God as it is about worshiping a pagan God. And giving up on Judaism in favor of Islam may not be an idol worship, but for a Jew it is Avodah Zarah. Now, that's shocking, right? And maybe a minority position. But what may not be in a minority position is, as I mentioned before, is Christianity. So very quickly with Christianity.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would that position hold that simply not believing in God is considered Avodah Zarah because you're just over on guilty?
Good. So that's the interesting question. I think that there's a good argument to be made that it would. There are a number of poskim who claim that a mesis for atheism, right, a mesis to kfira, let's say,
right, is a mesis, just like a mesis level dezara. Right, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he claims that a mesis is a mesis for anything, right? Any mitzvah, you could be a mesis, right? In sort of a controversial tshuva. But there are many other posts who say it's not true, but yes, right? Kfira, right? Any type of kfira, atheism, for a Jew at least, maybe not for a non-Jew, but for a Jew, atheism would be the equivalent of a avodah zarah, right? Saying I don't believe in God, right, would be as bad. It may not be a worship of anything by definition, right? It's the lack of a belief in anything to worship. But you're right. That's exactly the point. And there are many posts can go in that direction. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you send me an email, if you shoot me an email, my email's at the top of the sheet, I can send you sources on that. But that's one of the fascinating discussions in how you define mesis and echanami, right? By that argument, atheism, for Jews at least, might be the equivalent, right, the functional or halachic equivalent of avodah zarah. Now, Christianity has a similar machlokas. Where did I put on the sheet? Did I not put on the sheet? I thought I did. Oh. Okay, I didn't. Well, then I will say that's... did I? No?
Yeah, Christianity is a bloody.
What? Or did my printer...
The sheet that I have has Christianity there.
Oh, that's annoying. Okay, so I'm going to have to say this by heart, because the printer at Migdal has been a bit temperamental, and I assumed it had printed everything, but it printed everything up till my question, my section of Christianity. So if I forget anything, you let me know. But be caron. Christianity is the same machlokas. Yeah, tell me about it. Okay. So this is a new printer too. So Christianity. So there's a cryptic Gemara in Sanhedrin Samach Gimel and Beis, where the Gemara is talking about Shituf. I'm sorry, it's talking about the Isser of Hashem Elohim Achrem Lo Yishama Al Picha. That there's an Isser to cause an idolater to invoke the name of his God in a vow. Right, because we read it passively, right? It's not just usher to invoke the name of an idol yourself, but Shem Elohim Achirin Lo Shama Al Picha. Now Tosfos there, again, you'll tell me if I'm forgetting something, but Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, in Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel, as well as in Becharos Daf Beis, those are the two main places Tosfos says it. So Tosfos says that what about Bizman Hazeh? Are you allowed to enter into the Gemara then says that because you can't make a non-Jew vow in the name of his idol, because it's a shame, you can't do a business deal with a non-Jew, lest you come to a situation in which you'll have to make a vow. So Tosfos says, but nowadays you're allowed to. First he quotes Machlokas Rashbam Rabbeinu Tam, of whether you're allowed to have the guy make a vow in general if you're going to lose money. That's a Machlokas for another time. But then Tosfos says, but Bizman Hazeh, it's fine. Because even though Christians invoke the Shem HaKadoshim Shalahem, which is probably the saints, maybe it's Jesus, but probably the saints, Umishatef, and they combine that with God. He says, when they say God, Kavanasam Leose Shemayim Varetz, or something like that, right? What they mean is the creator of God. And even though it's true they're Mishatef, Shem Shemayim B'davar Acher, right? They're not Husru Alzeh, or in Rabbeinu Yerucham, lo husru al hashituf. And the question is, what does Tosfos mean? So the Ramah has a radical read. And the Ramah says, you know what that means? Now, Jacob Katz has an argument that this only is possible because of the misread in Rabbeinu Yerucham, or the Gerson Rabbeinu Yerucham, that lo husru al hashituf, and shituf in the Muslim world meant Trinitarianism. And therefore, by the time the Ramah saw it, he was influenced by what the word meant in common, colloquially, which is Trinitarianism, and therefore, meaning the Trinity, believing there's multiple parts to the God. But be that as it may, the Ramah makes the argument that at least for non-Jews, what Tosfos is saying is that even though they believe in God, but they believe God has multiple parts, including Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whatever they call it nowadays, that's not avodah zarah for non-Jews. And therefore, Christians, for Christians, are not avodah zarah. But pashtos, it's for Jews, they are. Right? The Meiri might think not, but we're not going to get into the sheet of the Meiri tonight. Now, the Nod Bihuda's son, some people make a mistake and they say it's a Nod Bihuda, it's not. It's in Tshuva's Nod Bihuda, Tshuva Kuf Memches and Yerodea, but it's at the beginning of the tshuva, it says this is a tshuva mi ben hamachaber. So it's the son of Rabbi Chezkel Landa, the son of the Nevi Yehuda. He says that's not what Tosfos means at all. Tosfos says it's not that believing that God is three parts is not a avodah zarah. It is. It's that taking a vow in the name of an idol and something else. So for a Jew, that's bad, because you should be vowing only in the name of God. But for a non-Jew, that's fine, because they don't have such a commitment to God. That's fine. But how could the Ramah say such a thing, right? How could it be that you believe in three parts to a Godhead, and that's not a avodah zarah for Jews, sorry, for non-Jews, but it is for Jews, meaning either it is or it isn't. So leaving aside whether he's right in Tosfos, I think the Ramah can only justify that position by saying, look, for a non-Jew, as long as they believe in God, so they have a mistaken belief of God. They believe there's three parts to it. But they're talking about God. It's warped, but fundamentally, they're not bowing to an idol. Right? They're worshiping God, a warped view. And he can entertain the possibility that for a non-Jew, that's not of a desire. For a Jew, Rachmana Litzlan. For a Jew, you have to have the right view of God, right? You can't mix anything into God's mix. That's impossible. But I think conceptually, the Ramah is bordering on the same thing, that it only makes sense to talk about it. Now, whether we paskin that way is not my issue right now. Right? That's a huge machlok because I chronim him. But again, the possibility that you could have something as radical as a trinity be avodah zarah for Jews, because it seems like it is, and for non-Jews it's not, because it's just a warped view of God, but they're talking about God, sach hakol, right? That's a very radical expression of this notion that the concept of avodah zarah is so different for Jews and non-Jews, right? For non-Jews, it's only if I can say, look, they are worshipping an idol, not like they have a mistaken view of God, right? For the Ramah, even that is not worship of another God. It may not be pure worship of God, but it's not worship of another God, right? So I think that's already three or four nafkaminas, right? One is the one of the Gemara itself, which is Jews are chayiv, whether they do it, they worship idols the way they're normally worshipped, or the way that you should be worshipping God in the Beis HaMikdash. Then there's like the reading psukim nafkamina of the Ramban, right? That the word kina, which represents a jealousy in the context of relationship, is only used by God, anthropopathically speaking, to describe avodah zarah, and only for Jews and not for non-Jews, because only there is their kina, because you're taking your relationship with God and moving it. And then the radical position of the Ritva, that Islam may be mamish monotheistic and still be idolatrous for Jews, because kfira is the halachic equivalent for Jews of avodah zarah, because you're giving up in your religion. And then that sub machlok is that maybe atheism is the same. And then the Ramah's even more radical claim that Christianity, right, that it wouldn't be avodah zarah for Christians, because it's only a warped view, but it's not worshipping something else. The last nafkamina, I would say, is I don't know if I put this on the sheet now, they don't have this last page, but we know that in addition to the Isser of Avodah Zarah per se, there's another Isser, or many more Isserim, where the Rambam details in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that in addition to worshipping idols, there's also Usser to think about them, or do anything that would make you lose track of God for a minute, right? Al tifnu el midaitchem, or you can't have heretical thoughts, right? You can't be involved in things that would push you towards heresy, right? Now, that expansion of Isurim, right, that we have to protect the relationship with God, that you should try to cleanse your thoughts of anything that would make you not think about God, right? That, like, that's like people saying, look, I'm not committing adultery, but, you know, lahavdil, right? They are obsessed with pornography, I don't know, right? And they're involved in something that, right, that distracts them. They're not involved with an actual human being, right? But they are involved in something that lessens their intimacy with their spouse, right? That is, at some level, a violation. So the Rambam says, right, at least for Jews, the same thing is true, right? Thinking things that lead you in that direction is idolatrous. And I think, right, all these things come down to the same point, right? That for non-Jews, right, all there is an Isser Avodah Zarah. For Jews, you can be an idolatrous monotheist. It's not just about monotheism, it's about properly channeling your relationship to God, which therefore expands what it means to worship something else. Again, the avodah zarah, avodah avazar, or strange worship, which expands it for Jews. So I think sort of that fundamental chakira has those 5-6 nafkaminas, both in terms of halacha and parshanut of the psukim, and as you see, certain very, very critical halachic implications in terms of the status of two of the world's major religions. So that's just sort of a taste of what we've been doing in my share, at least, in Migdal. Questions? I don't know who's here, but questions, anyone?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah, go.
So Shinto versus paganism, what's the clear split?
So paganism, I assume, is believing in multiple gods, right? Shinto, at least for the Rama, is a mistake, because you're not believing in multiple gods, you're just believing in one godhead, you just think there can be multiple parts, right? Which, in Achanami, the Nod Yudas, what are you talking about? That sounds like paganism to me. The fact that the Rama is willing to pretend the possibility that it's not, right? That it's, you know, it's just a warped view of God rather than a belief in other gods. Again, it's shver. That's why the Achronim, many of the Achronim don't like the Rama. But I assume conceptually that's what he seems to be getting at. Oh, they just think that the word shituf means that for non-Jews it's not a problem to vow, right? Meaning they don't think shituf is the Trinity. They think it's in the vow. Asur l'shateif shem Hashem im dvarim acherim. That for a Jew, when you take a vow, you have to take a vow only to God, right? If a non-Jew wants to say, "I swear by God and Saint Jove," so big deal, right? Like. And again, that may be another nafkamina, right? Or an expression of this, right? That Jews, you have to, it's not just avodah zarah. In general, we have to show our absolute commitment only to God. Someone else says, "I swear," right? Being a Jew, if you said, "I swear by God and my parents," right? No one thinks you're making your parents into gods, but still, you're putting your parents on the level of God. That's a problem, right? But for a non-Jew, okay, big deal, right? So you're not showing God the sufficient respect. You're putting someone on the same level. Okay, but you're not believing in it, right? That's what the Jesus says. Okay, so they don't have to do that. Right? That's ours, right? We have to hold that sensitivity. They don't. Okay, anybody else? Okay, good. Shkoyach, maybe next time we'll do a video, because I find this a bit disconcerting, not knowing who's here. But okay, I hope you enjoyed. And we'll learn together again at some point. Okay, shkoyach, Evra.
Shkoyach.